Welcome everyone to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're stuck inside today because the heat index is above 100.
Yeah. I think the actual air temperature is 90s, and then the humidity is high enough that it makes it feel like 106, I think, is the high heat index for today.
It feels like it. I went out to dump the compost because you whipped up a cake. Pie.
A pie.
Yes, a lemon pie. So the compost bin inside got full, so I went out to the garden, and it is thick out there.
Yeah, which it was even this morning when I went to water the garden and we moved the mower.
Mm.
The plants seem to be doing fine. Hopefully this means good things for the tomatoes.
Yeah.
They hopefully will rise above the clover.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we're like, should we leave the clover? Sure. Like, it's doing a job. It's fixing nitrogen.
Yeah.
It, pollinators love it. So, yeah, it is beastly warm out.
Yes. So we have all the curtains closed now. We're just stuck inside for the weekend, which we knew headed into it.
Yeah. Shut the door to the downstairs so the cold air up here stays up here and doesn't sink to the main floor.
Yes. And because the oven is on, we don't need that heat rising.
No, we do not.
Nick and Nora are ensconced in a box together right by a vent.
They're so cute.
They've been snuggling for like the past day in that box.
They have. Nick is just looks so pillowy and like fits the space so well.
Yes.
He must have a backstop because we know our boy loves a backstop.
He does.
Asta has just romped over to her vent.
Yes. They're all very smart bunnies.
Yes. Asta, especially on how to get Apple out of the dads.
Yes.
Oh, are you eating an apple? Oh, I would.
He knows the smell and the sound. So.
Especially the sound.
Yes.
As soon as you started crunching.
Yep. She is like on your lap, climbing up you, being like, I want to eat this.
With her sharp little claws.
Yes. That's tomorrow's adventure, is trimming all their nails.
Yeah. Which is, you may think, oh, didn't you just do that? And we sort of did, but we didn't take too much off and we need more practice to
feel
comfortable. And the more comfortable we feel, hopefully the less anxious they will feel after sensing us.
And we have to get a tuft from Asta's chin. We have to get tufts from Nora's tail.
I'm sure Nick has a tuft or two in his tail.
Yeah.
He always does. And we need to do his scent glands.
Yeah. So it'll be an adventure. But
our boy is stinky.
I was like, we are not doing anything today. Like, we just need a day to relax.
Yeah. So I read these comics, I read Avengers Academy, I read sort of a backlog.
What did you think of Avengers Academy?
I really liked it. I enjoyed some of the like snarky, or the deep cuts maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what it was, but I was like, oh, it's this person. Oh, it's this. That's fun.
So are you now going to read it on Marvel Unlimited?
I've been saying for so long that I need to.
Yeah.
So for a while there, I was doing really well reading the Unlimited stuff on Tuesdays before city council meetings.
Yeah.
But less so now.
And now they've switched to, at least Avengers Academy is now Wednesdays.
Oh, I mean, I still have enough to read up on.
Yeah.
But last Tuesday at work, it was just like, oh, can you do this? Oh, can you do that? Oh, I just arrived. Can you print the whole packet for me? Can you find this?
Yeah.
So it was a lot. And even the days off, Thursday, I filled with chores.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was one of those things where, like, the list kept barreling into each other of, like, I need to do this, and then I need to do that. And it was like, I need to knock at least one domino down.
Yeah.
And then started progressing from there.
Yeah. And I helped my mom get a car, which took forever at the dealership. And then I was so hungry and like crabby.
Yes.
And I feel that day just did not go up from there. Like, it just sort of leveled out at crabby.
Oh.
So.
You are learning the joy that is more food to help your mood.
I know. But it. Yeah. That's why I said, we're not doing any big chores today.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely things. Like, there's always weeding.
Yes. But not in this weather.
There's this chip garden. There's cleaning out bins in the garage to make room for the lawnmower.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a very low-key day. I hope, dear listener, you are having one too.
Yeah. Yeah, this week was really busy. There's a lot of stuff going on. I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And the Uncanny Experience is right around the corner,
That's
less than a
like,
month.
yeah. I'm trying to figure out how much blue to apply if I'm being Iceman, which I only have two X-Men cosplays. So part of me is like, do I even cosplay this year?
I know, because at first I was going to make a Havoc jacket, but then the material I have, one, would be just a bitch to wrangle because it's already quilted, so it's thick. Two, I think I would sweat to death.
Oh.
So when I'm doing that session, at least the spandex is short sleeve, and I can just whip over a cardigan like I'm Havoc teaching.
Oh.
Professor Havoc. And then I have an Alpha Flight suit as well. So,
Right.
yeah, I am in the same boat where I'm like, oh, cosplay. I don't know.
And like Magic
Sure.
Madrox is super cool, except very warm.
Yes.
I'm also starting to worry about my, like, I chose the thicker fabric.
Oh, because I think it prints better, right? Or something. I feel Demanda told us.
Yeah, we did what Demanda said. But now I'm just concerned about overheating. So we'll see at FlameCon with the Hunter, and I need to bring like four brown belts or something to get the harnessing right.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to cosplay at FlameCon or not. I don't know. We'll see how Uncanny goes and how I feel.
Yeah.
And,
I may just run
yeah.
around in the Madrox bro tank with an M
No,
over my eye and call it a
exactly.
day.
Yeah. Like, even at Uncanny, obviously, I have to live my brand, which is
Yeah.
Alpha Flight and selling this book. So I might just like change into an Alpha Flight t-shirt at some point
Yeah.
and call it a day.
Yeah, and getting all the blue off in time for the Saturday party. Going back to St. Paul, back to Minneapolis.
So we can check in on the buns.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Eat some supper.
Yeah. Sarah Century, I hope you like Red Rabbit. It's pasta.
So, what else is going on? I mean, the book is coming out in like a week's time by the time this episode airs,
Oh, that's exciting.
or 6 days or something like that. So I'm using it now for this episode.
Yeah, for issues 43, 44, and 45 of Alpha Flight,
And
which
yeah.
was a good arc. Like, I applaud your choice of these three.
Yeah, I didn't know if I'd extend one more or not. And I'm like, I think I'll stop it here because I know 50 is a big issue. It's a double size issue. Right after 50, we have annual number two. So I'm trying to clump things logically so it's not like two regular issues or three regular issues and then a double size issue or something
Oh.
like that. Trying to make this manageable for us to talk about and also to recap. Like, we don't want to inundate all of our listeners with here are four issues and we're trying to cram everything into the descriptions.
Right. And I feel like it's a good spot to end at the back of 45.
Yeah,
What a
so
surprise.
43 is entitled Strike Across the Border from February 1987.
And there's Sentinels. I was not anticipating Sentinels in an Alpha Flight book. But before we even get there, we get Mesmero in jail with his like, so he's green skinned. And he has purple knee-high boots, purple underwear, and then a purple harness and collar getup. Like, he's not wearing a whole lot. I feel like I need to ask Chad about him, and I feel
I
like,
think there's a trial out there.
oh, yeah.
Because Mesmero or Mesmero, depending on how you want to pronounce it, has mind control powers.
Yeah, he
So he has like a
does.
fishbowl helmet. He has.
They put it on him to keep him from using his powers, except we get this weird factoid of if a mutant can't use their powers, then they die. Like all that energy is just pent up.
Okay.
Which, oh yeah. It's like it's
Sure.
the 80s, it's fine. And so this doctor comes in, Mesmero has collapsed, he takes the helmet off, and Mesmero's like, just kidding, I fooled you.
He
You
dumps in a nice Astro van, maybe.
a station wagon. I mean, if it was a station wagon, you'd know it would have the paneling on the side.
and he books it. So Yeah. So he is driving north. He's going towards Canada. The next day...
In the Okanagan range of northern... Oh, Washington State. But the Okanagan is also in Alberta.
Hmm. So these stealth sentinels are launched to track down and bring him back.
In a very Canadian thing, there's like lumberjacks.
Yes.
On top of trees. Which I feel has been a long time since I've seen that competition at the state fair.
Oh.
Of like... You have to race to the top and do something.
Yeah. So they can only track Mesmero and his mutant powers when he's actually using the powers. Otherwise, they're just flying around like fuck sticks. They're like buzzing around, invisible, and just waiting.
Oh, where did it go? There's a panel in here where it's just like Mesmero taking a nap in a van as they're talking about how they need the powers to activate.
This is a reminder not to leave anyone in a vehicle in hot weather like it is today, even pets, because it's really hot.
It's true. Yeah, I guess it's around the Alpha Flight stuff, but also it's a transition between Alpha Flight and the folks at Intertech who had launched the Sentinels, and he's just like passed out in a van napping.
I mean, I could go for a nap right now.
Oh, same.
All right, so...
But the things with Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight is flying their Omnijet, and Roger is lashing out in despair at his plight. Remember, he has the bends. So that's where we left him.
Yes, in his armor. Yep. Actually, that's not where we left him. We left him in a tank, like a hyperbaric chamber.
Mm.
I don't remember why they're flying.
They got him back in the suit. Remember, they had a faulty hyperbaric chamber. So, like... They constructed it, but it wasn't equalized, so he passed out.
And then Purple Girl, got him back
into the armor. Yes.
Ugh.
I know.
But
I only know these things because I read these issues so many times in the past 6 months.
But also there are legit some other plot holes that, like, things are out of sequence.
Yes, they are. We'll get to them, because you turned to me at one point and you're like, wait, when did this happen? And I picked up my handy book. And I'm like, I think it's back in like issue 4. Like, I went back and I'm like, nope, it didn't happen. And then I turned to the next issue. I'm like, oh, it happened in this issue that happens in the future, but it was referenced in the previous issue.
Yeah. So Horbox, in despair, like, apparently is losing his mind in his armor.
So they're on their way to see Scramble.
Yeah. So they're lashing out.
Madison Jeffrey's brother is like, come to my new life clinic, which is a very 80s sounding clinic. Or a dialysis place in the 2000s.
Or a mega church.
Yes. Oh, pick multiple choice. Or D.
All of the above.
Yes.
So even like Aurora blinds him, and it's just very strange. North Star is racked by cough.
Yes, COFF. Cough.
Yeah. And is it this issue we get the weird flirty moments between Aurora and Madison?
Probably.
I believe it is.
All right, so Heather's trying to control the situation.
Yeah.
She sort of misses the mark and punches a hole in the side of the jet.
So she has to fly out,
yep.
Save a car from the debris, and then since the Omnijet is now crashing, like, Box hit the propulsion system. Madison turns it into, like, a big, I don't know how it stays up, like a
one-wheel
thing.
It's a very odd one-wheeled craft that still has like the fuselage of the jet,
but with a big wheel on the back.
Yeah,
and you're like, how does it not just like dip its nose into the ground?
Yeah,
but it doesn't.
Madison also restrains Roger.
Yeah, ties him up in a straitjacket,
mm-hmm.
which is a choice. Purple Girl's like, Heather's a real hero. She cleaned all this up. I couldn't do anything. She's like 13-year-old girl.
Exactly. So once they get to the clinic, Roger is like, fine, I'll get treated.
I should say fangirl. Okay. Like, she's having a moment.
Okay. Mesmero awakens in the back of his van. As he said, he's at Expo 86, which is it's a real life thing that happened in Vancouver.
Is it sort of related to the World's Fair, like what it morphed into?
Yes.
Far out.
So he uses his power on an attendee, which alerts the Stealth Sentinels to his location.
Yeah, he's like, I need a disguise. I'll put a helmet and a leather jacket over my green legs and purple boots and purple Speedo. And he's like, I can't do a helmet. It's too close to what they had on me in prison. And some dude just tries to be nice and go up to him. And then Mesmero's like, you are under my power. So Sentinels go, they attack. They are no longer stealthified. And so they're like, we need to recall them. And who's running the show? Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah.
Was that ex anticipating him being in an Alpha Flight book?
Surprise.
Also, surprise, I'm getting boop booped on my back because Asta has joined us. Asta has entered the
She
conversation.
has, but she cannot come over to erase this recording.
Oh, that what a time.
Yeah.
Just hopped up on the laptop and deleted it twice in a row. So Mesmero gets a whole crowd around to protect him. He's got human shields and he forces a woman off the monorail track.
Yeah,
And
he's doing some real villain shit.
the Sentinels are like, the human lies broken, unmoving, dead. The dialogue from the Sentinels is curious, less robotic than I would have thought. And so they're like, we are in a quandary. What do we do? We must capture Mesmero without resulting in more loss of human life. And then Alpha Flight shows up.
Yeah, so they see the Sentinels are an impediment to retaking Mesmero. They're like, these Sentinels, obviously, they have their own aims.
Oh, it's numbers 28 and 29. I wonder if it's 30 or 27 is the third one. But these are Mark 7s. The print on the page was pretty worn on my copy.
It's really hard. I'm looking forward to these being sort of remastered.
Touched up.
Yeah. Asta just jumped. She took a leap.
Yes.
She is now right next to the microphone. She can't
Is
speak, but she agrees that it will be nice to see this in an omnibus format and on Marvel Unlimited early next year.
Oh, her posse seemed fine, even though she landed on my partially on my leg. Important update.
Yeah, so Alpha Flight is like, we need to kill these Sentinels because they're killing humans. Like, they're allowing humans to die.
Yeah. So North Star tries punching. It doesn't work. Cough, cough, cough. And he gets whammed by knockout gas. Aurora tries blinding some a sentinel, which somehow works against a robot. Maybe
Yes.
blows out the video sensors. And Puck goes after Mesmero and is like, haha, I'm covering my eyes. I'll be safe. Except Mesmero turns the entire crowd against him. And it sort of goes down for the count. Purple Girl is still underage and still wants
So
to do something.
Madison left her in charge of flying the craft.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, we gotta go. You take the wheel, literally.
Yeah, I need to do something, but I promised your mom I'd look after you, so be safe. I'm gonna go
Right.
jump.
He's not a good guardian.
No, but he is a really good technopath. Like, he disassembles this sentinel, it just goes squawk. And he gets his own like sentinel armor out of it with a little set of wings. So he goes off, the Omnijet crashes into another sentinel, and Purple Girl does the ejection thing. She's got a little chair, a little parachute. She's doing pretty well for herself.
Yeah, and North Star and Aurora are not being registered as mutants.
Which I thought was so curious because they were clearly using the mutant powers.
It's because Aurora had her powers changed, like
Right.
the infusion of light, and North Star just
Is
is.
diseased,
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So Madison is like, there's another one. We have to stop it. So he sacrifices his sentinel armor to make a giant harpoon that Heather then shoots off into the sentinel. Number 26 goes gray. And Mesmero is like, great. Thanks, I'm saved. But also, I'm running away and I'm going to do whatever I want. And Purple Girl stops the crowd. Her powers trump his, which is an unexpected
yeah
situation. Like, I was anticipating her being able to trump anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But Puck is gravely wounded. Bum, bum, bum. Continued next month as he's, like, bleeding on the ground.
Yeah.
Losing consciousness.
Again, Puck is injured. So Lionel hasn't gotten his license back.
No, they talked about it.
Yeah. And they're like, it seems like you're doing good work, so it's okay.
Well, he did something to some very rich person who's like, here's all this money to start a clinic. And so he's sort of practicing medicine on license.
Yeah.
But it's his own version of medicine.
Yeah. Using his powers. So we have Mesmero, who was used in this issue as a one-off villain. Previously, we had Diablo in the annual last episode. So it's like Mantlo is pulling one-off United States villains.
Oh.
To be like, come on up.
Oh, that's right, because Diablo was a Fantastic Four villain, I want to say.
Maybe?
In the footnotes.
Okay. So, it's interesting to see how he's pulling upon, like, a rogues gallery. Because Alpha Flight's rogues gallery, we took a pause. So Shaman and Snowbird were not in this issue because they are trying to get to Pestilence.
Right.
They're trying to track down Pestilence. So that's, like, the only Alpha Flight baddie we really have right now.
Right. Gilded Lily fell apart.
I know. R.I.P. again.
Deadly Earnest is chopped into pieces.
Yep.
Nemesis is gone. Well, as a chaotic neutral person.
Yeah.
Who,
the Master gone.
Pink Pearl in prison.
Yep.
I can't think of anyone else.
No.
So I know you've mentioned ones that you want for your wall of art.
Yes, but they're
we haven't met them yet.
No. All right. Issue 44 is entitled Plague! Exclamation point.
Yeah. So they are walking in the door and there's the spectral forms of Snowbird and Shaman / Talisman.
They're like, we've been waiting for you.
Yeah. Puck is now healed. Aurora is now in her winter gear outfit. And it's like, how? This was not where we left the last issue. I was like, did I miss something in between? And like, no.
And you even checked the issue numbers.
Yeah, I'm like, this is 44. I just read 43. Puck was in a very bad way. So the spirits of Shaman and Snowbird are like, we have located my son. His body still possessed by the evil soul of Pestilence. Hasten to Burial Butte. So there's some debriefing.
Well, it's basically like a Star Wars hologram call.
It kind of is.
And then Shaman is like, some spirits will lead you here. So, like, get back in your jet.
Yeah.
And Purple Girl has to be convinced by Madison that she has to stay behind for her own safety.
Yeah.
But she's waving goodbye to them. And what do we see from the medicine bag that was opened to project? It's Smart Aleck creeping out.
I was so surprised to see him again. And his funny little helmet. Like that, what a cosplay that would be.
Yeah. I mean, it would be easy just to like get an action figure and modify it and just have it in your bag and bring it out.
Who wears a lot of purple? I guess you could paint someone purple. Yeah. It would have to be a Cyclops though with the visor thing going on.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to make the head bigger.
We can find someone.
Yeah.
At the New Life Clinic.
It's the Jeffries, but not the Jeffries that we've been talking about mostly.
And Lionel scrambles there with Whitman Knapp in his first appearance, I think.
Yeah, but we haven't met him before, but he's the assistant.
They're trying to help him out of the box armor. Scramble extracts Roger, and then he's like, ooh, I have a little goal I'd love to work on with you. What if we can make you whole again?
Yeah, like the way that disability was treated in the 80s is problematic by today's standards.
Yeah, they're like, and by whole, he means I can give you legs.
Yeah. And we hear it from Puck. I don't like this new look of Puck's where he's so...
He's a sad boy.
Doting on Heather. And he's like, woe is me. I'm half a man.
Yeah.
I'm not capable of loving her. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, no. She's looking at Madison Jeffries the way she could never look at me since he's tall.
Yes.
Also, I'm old enough to be her grandfather, but whatever. I'm going to gloss over that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the problematic part. Not the, like, 60-year age difference between
right.
them.
Right. Okay. Are we done with New Life Clinic for now?
Well, I think so. Madison did like a forced exit to get Box out. So yeah. The Omnijet has been put back together. I feel like it's one of those video game things, like you pay enough tech bits and they get your whole new thing again. Or like the Lego game. You just get a vehicle. Did it smash to pieces 2 minutes ago? Sure. But you get it back again.
So they arrive at Burial Butte and there are bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
So it seems like a plague has taken them all down.
And you can see rat corpses around everyone as well. I'm curious, I wish I knew more about indigenous art, but I wonder if the wind spirits, like, I feel like I've seen those faces on masks,
Oh, maybe.
but I don't know where.
Yeah, the artist is David Ross. He's our penciler, and he is actually Canadian. So
Oh.
he may have had reference material that he utilized, but I don't know
I hope so.
because he didn't reply to my request to interview him for the book.
Oh.
David Ross, are you out there? I'd love to chat with you still. It's okay.
Was
It's
it?
like when you mess, like so many people, like it could dump into a spam folder. It did that for other people. So.
Oh, or you just put out there into the void, like Alexis Nicole, and send her some message of like that. I love that plant that you just identified. I'm sorry, people are awful.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So the spirits are then like, come follow us. And they find Doug Thompson, who is in rough shape
Oh,
on
yeah.
the couch. He's at the local Royal Canadian Mounted Police outpost, and he's about to die.
Yeah, but he did a good job tracking down Pestilence. He found him at the entrance of the mine, and then that's when the plague of rats was released. And Shaman and Talisman found me. He directed them to the mines, and then he's gone. Well, I guess before he goes, he makes the Elfins promise that they will save him from Pestilence.
Yes. All right, so they go to the cave, and Aurora uses her light power to keep the darkness and Jean-Marie at bay. The team splits up, so you have the twins going together and Heather, Puck, and Madison going out solo.
Seems like such a poor choice.
Yep. So Madison almost immediately, a clawed tentacle comes out and grabs him.
They really do look like the Alien franchise alien. Like they've got the, or I guess the brood, they've got that shape to them.
Yeah. Puck is crushed below falling rocks. So it seems like Pestilence is in charge of everything. Like he has a handle on how to manipulate everything in this cave.
Yeah, the fact that Cole is deceased organic matter. They're like, oh, he's creating these creatures out of coal. We get a scene with Aurora and Northstar, and Northstar is like, maybe I should have been checked out by Scramble because I had this heat wound on my shoulder that's not healing. There's my cough. And I guess I didn't because I was afraid of what I'd find out.
And then a herd of rats.
Yes.
Northstar tries to like get them away, but he cough coughs.
He does the Wonder Woman twirl, and it's working for a while until it doesn't. And then he bonks into Aurora, plunging them both into darkness, and she wanders off with her Jean-Marie persona in control. Not in control is
Heather.
Mac.
Oh. Yes, because Heather's seeing Mac.
Yeah. So she blasts him away. I love this moment for her where she's like, I've gotten over the guilt that it was I who killed him. You're just an illusion. Pestilence has dredged from the doubts in my mind. Good for you to self-actualize all that.
Yes. So she blasts him away, but then Wolverine's there.
Yep.
Because to Alpha Flight's credit, they did not put Wolverine on the cover to sell this book.
Yeah. And he tries to guilt her into the, oh, they turned me into a killing machine. So she blasts him away. And then there's an apparition of Puck. There's an apparition of Madison Jeffries. And he's like, what are you going to do, boss lady? Fry every guy you ever loved, who you ever loved, or whoever loved you? And it's like, oh, they're just lining up suitors for Heather.
And then after Madison disappears, she's like, oh shit, I actually shot these rocks. And maybe Puck. I need to give him CPR.
But I think she just blasted the rocks off of
She
Puck.
did.
So,
But
but then with the CPR, he's like, so you can love a dwarf. It's like,
Yeah, so he was fine because he sort of did some meditation and slowed down his breathing.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't get crushed to death.
Poor Aurora as Jean-Marie. I will do penance, sisters. I understand I am a humble, lowly creature capable of only crawling my way towards the divine. And then she finally lights up again, and somehow the light dispels Jean-Marie. So she's back to being Aurora.
Yes, and she's like, oh, I'm near Madison, who's using his powers to take minerals from the rocks.
Yeah.
To, like...
He made a it is most becoming, this armor that he has created for himself. She is macking on Madison.
Yes. And then he's like, I don't want this. And then retreats.
Yeah. She's like, ooh, it's a mere flirtation. Why have box when I can have a whole man? And he's like, excuse me, lady, but suddenly I feel kind of soiled. And I don't think it's the coal dust. Aurora asks, am I not allowed to love any man I like? And he's like, sure, but don't expect them all to love you back. Madison dropping some truth.
Yeah. So Northstar has made it the furthest in all these caverns. And he finds Shaman and Snowbird. Snowbird's in the White Sasquatch form. And they're attacking Pestilence.
And it's wild. Shaman is commanding Snowbird in the Sasquatch form. It's like not of her own volition that she's acting, which I feel like happens a lot in comics that women characters are taken over by men. And it's been happening a lot to Snowbird recently, and I don't think I like it.
So Northstar sees that Snowbird is about to destroy Pestilence. And he rushes in and he's like, wait. You're about to kill your baby.
So he gets knocked around by Sasquatch, tumbles towards Pestilence, and now is the kiss.
Yes.
It'll drive you into my embrace. I am feeding on the decay I sensed within you to make myself stronger. So by dividing his attention, Shaman and Snowbird had weakened Pestilence, but now we got fully charged back up again.
Like a video game.
Like in a video game. Thank you, Northstar. Your death has given me new life.
So the team now
all shows up
and they're rushing Pestilence. He catches Aurora, rapidly ages her and tosses her aside.
Yeah.
Puck realizes he can't let the villain touch him because otherwise Black Razor is going to emerge again.
And Alpha can't take on two of them at once. Yeah.
Heather blasts Pestilence and then the baby emerges, pleading in a very creepy way with Snowbird to help save him.
Yeah. Snowbird has gone back to her normal form, her Narya form.
And she hesitates. And
because a child binds her to humanity, even as my husband did, if he should die, I would be free to join the gods in paradise. And she's torn.
Yeah, she's like, I actually want that.
But she still picks him up and
then
is like, oh, how could I think that of my own flesh? And we get this weird, like, the purity of the child is corrupting Pestilence, which I appreciate that it goes both ways. And Pestilence suddenly becomes afraid of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns into a thing of, like, yes, kill me, sunder this body, kill the child.
Yeah.
And he commands, Pestilence is commanding Snowbird in the Sasquatch form to kill him.
Yes.
Heather hesitates.
Yes.
So the baby is killed. Heather unleashes her blast just a bit too late, and Pestilence is now free from the corrupting influence of the baby, and Snowbird is dead.
Yep.
It's rough.
Yeah. So Heather sort of killed Snowbird.
Yeah.
And the issue closes. The team is unloading the bodies of Doug Thompson, Snowbird in her white Sasquatch form, and their child from the Omnijet. As Heather goes into the mansion and sheds a tear for what she had to do, Smart Aleck looks on from a bookshelf.
Yeah, he does.
So it's not looking great for the team, especially for the team as we knew it from, like, the first issue.
Yeah. The Like, I was not expecting Heather to kill Snowbird in Sasquatch form. I thought it would just have been like a stunning thing. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, she will fire in time to distract Snowbird and like keep the purifying elements of the baby with Pestilence. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're not so evil. But yeah, did not expect that at all.
Issue 45 is entitled Resurrection, and we are graveside on Tamarind Island.
Yeah.
So we're burying these folks basically right outside the mansion.
I mean, it's a nice hill.
It is.
It overlooks the sound.
There's glass coffins for all three of them.
I know that it works for comics, but yes, it's still a choice.
So
Heather, like,
she's going through it.
She is. She was going on such a high from before. She's like, I'm doing it. I'm the leader of Alpha Flight. Not only that, like, they're a family now. So to go from that to this is quite the roller coaster drop for her.
So she turns to Madison to cry into his chest. And Purple Girl, it hasn't really experienced death before. So she goes to the two of them for comfort as well. And Puck is like, I'm lonely. Heather will never love me.
Well, I'm on the outside looking in.
And he's very Eeyore.
Like I said, I don't like this look for him.
Northstar and Aurora, they are still fighting because she's flirting. But then he has a coughing fit. And he's like, it's so much worse since Pestilence kissed me.
She actually does go through the history of Walter, though. She's like, this is the second time mourning the passage of the Sasquatch. The first Sasquatch was my lover. We were so happy together until the evil inside him forced Snowbird to slay him. Even then, his soul survived in the robot armor of Box. But Walter wanted to be a man, not a machine. And Northstar rightly tells her off, like, you drove him to do it, Aurora. You who threatened to choose a living lover while Lankowski was trapped in the box. And now you're threatening to do the same thing to Roger Box, who's now inhabiting the robot. She's like, you may be my brother, Northstar, but that gives you no right. And like, he becomes racked by coughs, but he's not wrong.
No. And Shaman brings Narya's godly relatives, and they're like, hey, Narya, you want to come with us? And she's like, I will, but only if you'll accept my husband and child too. And they're like, okay, fine.
I know, they're like, well, maybe. And then one of them gets outvoted by the others.
Yes. So
that's a nice moment.
He completes this ritual, and then he just leaves the team. He's like, I gotta go. I'm just done here.
Yeah.
And he makes like a Doctor Strange portal and just walks away.
And he was so like, you decided, Vindicator, when you ordered me to obey you. As Shaman, I might have been able to go on, but having become the Binder of Spirits talisman, I find I can heed no mortal commands. Like, he's pissy because she's like, I'm your team leader, do this thing.
Yeah.
And he still didn't do it in the moment. And so he's like, I'm out. And Heather rightfully is like, well, what should I tell your daughter, Elizabeth? And he gives this non-answer. While I have abandoned this earthly plane, I will love and watch over her forever.
Okay.
That's not going to go well with her.
She already fucking hates you.
And this is adding more fuel to the fire.
So he leaves, and then Madison's like, oh, there's a boat from New Life Clinic. I wonder if this means that Roger's cured of the bends. And then Aurora's like, I wonder if I actually love him. Like, if he's cured, like, we gonna fuck or not?
Free of the box robot he was trapped in after he incurred the critical case of the bends? I promised to love him if he ever emerged again, but Northstar is right. I make many promises to many men and keep none of them.
Is she a gay man?
Toying with the legless Frogier was a diversion, but I am too much woman for half a man. Like, again, so problematic.
Yeah, so they go back into the mansion where Scramble and Box already are.
But is it more or less problematic that Madison changed the Gravedigger robots into little tank taxis?
So they could, they don't even
roll down the hill.
They don't even have to walk back to the mansion.
Way to change the timbre of that.
So Roger morphs out of the armor, and he's lean, and he has legs.
He has a unitard.
Yes.
Showing off his pecs and abs.
Aurora's like, oh, me so horny. And
he's like, you're so beautiful.
And she's like, I'm going to jump into your arms. And he slings her over his shoulder, and they go upstairs to a bedroom. Like, they immediately fuck. Like,
they do.
No ifs, ands, or buts. They are not even deep into a conversation or anything.
She's just
and
like,
she's upstairs getting plowed. Like, she is like, throw it in me right now, Roger.
I mean, that's a bit graphic, but
and that's it's the true.
There's a lot happening in this box. She's like hanging off of him, and Scramble's like, well, I hope that I've redeemed myself, Indicator. And Madison sort of like poking her towards like, hey, maybe it's time to bury the hatchet. You can maybe forgive him. Northstar's like, my sister is disgusting. And Puck is like, could Scramble cure me of my dwarfism as Anodyne once did? And could Heather love me then? Referencing that X-Men special. Oh, what a weird vibe.
At the same time, we see Whitman Knapp getting a little flirty wave from Purple Girl, and he waves back.
The Purple Girl's waving at me. She's cute, sort of.
She's 13, for real.
And he's got to be at least 25. Like, if he's a doctor.
Yep.
I don't think he's Doogie Howser.
Nope.
But at least Lion...
I actually did research on that for the book. I was like, when did Doogie Howser start airing? It was 1989.
Oh.
This is 1987.
Oh.
So, like, that's not even a reference point.
No, they can't build well, teenagers.
It is... and he... Somewhere within the next, like, 60 issues, he's referred to as, like, a renowned physician.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't just happen right out of med school.
Nope.
So...
it's problematic.
Lionel takes the pressure off Heather,
yeah,
who has been asked, like, can you make Lionel an honorary elephant? And he's like, no, I'm too busy. That's not my lifestyle. I have my clinic to worry about. Yeah. So, like, that... Good for Lionel for talking his way out of Heather's particular quandary that she was being placed in.
Yeah. So he and Whitman go back to the clinic. They get back in their New Life clinic boat and
head home.
Cut her away.
I do love that Smart Aleck. Like, there's a perspective from down by the floor behind a rocking chair, mm-hmm. and you can see Smart Aleck observing all this.
Yes. So later that night, it's sort of spooky. We're outside and
Sasquatch rising from the grave like he's Buffy.
Yeah. And makes for Mansion Alpha. Heather, at the same time, is inside, can't sleep. She's in the living room, and she's just thinking over all the recent events.
Yeah.
She then sees Smart Aleck running around and throws a lamp at him.
She's like, and he's like, Heather, wait, I'm not who you think.
And she can't, like, hear this tiny little voice.
She tries to stomp on him.
Right?
Which is great. There's, like, a weird claw hand that's... Oh, that is her thumb. I'm like, those are funky tendons. And also, where's her thumb?
That's
the
right
tendons there. Are her thumb.
Okay. She catches him, but before she can hear what he's actually saying, Sasquatch bursts in through a wall and tosses Heather against a wall.
Yeah. Smart Aleck also goes flying. And with all the ruckus, everyone comes downstairs.
And the team thinks that Box has Roger inside.
Right.
But he and Aurora emerge from upstairs. So they're like, wait.
On the other page. So the Box armor is fighting for a whole page. Like, Puck does some tumbles, gets scratched, but saves Heather. And they're like, where is he? Box must be in there, as they come down in, like, the lingerie and the boxers. I mean, I guess everyone is in pajamas. At least Northstar has a robe because classy.
He probably sleeps naked.
Oh.
Heather is like, wait a minute. I think some things are starting to make sense now.
And it's Walter Lankowski.
Our Aleck. He was in the dimensional void of Shaman's medicine bag, which is also basically the same dimension where Walter Lankowski's body was lost and his spirit was floating around.
Right, because he couldn't go into the Hulk. Yeah. So he was like, oh, Bruce Banner, you take your body back. I'll just hang out here.
So this is rolling it back to like issue 29. We're going back almost 20 issues to pick up this thread,
which is almost 2 years in comics time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
so it's been like 18 months or so. It's been like a year and a half where it, I guess readers would have assumed Walter Lankowski's dead.
Right. So this all sort of like gets pieced together over the next few pages. But it is sort of cool that while he was in spirit form in that void, like he couldn't escape because spirits can't escape that void. But he found Smart Aleck's body.
His mindless body.
Right. No one, he could knock on the door, but no one would answer. Yeah. There was no one home. So he took Smart Aleck's body. And with that as a vessel, he was able to walk out of the pouch.
And then he morphed into the box armor because he has already been inside the box armor.
He's well familiar with it.
So then all this is clicking, and then Sasquatch reveals that he's Pestilence.
It's true.
I found this body vacant after escaping from the baby, so I took it.
Somehow the blast hole was fixed. I don't know.
Aurora then is like, oh, Walter is alive. He's being attacked. She then jumps into the fight.
And this is not a great showing from Alpha. So we end up with everyone on the stairs. Northstar is coughing too much. Heather figures it out, runs upstairs. Walter, you were Sasquatch longer than anyone. You know the great beast power. Can you hold it? But Box's power lies in more than the armor's strength. Get close to Pestilence, Walter, and don't let go. The purple girl is
trying.
She does, and Madison has to jump in and save her, and he gets wounded.
Yeah, like her powers are not working on a great beast.
Right, either because of the olfactory senses or because it's Pestilence.
Yeah. Who is a dead old man.
So, yeah. Lankowski figures it out. The power source inside can be channeled through the armor, stuns the Sasquatch body, and this like flaming head of Pestilence comes out.
Yeah, so Heather, when she's thinking on the stairs, runs upstairs, grabs Shaman's medicine bag, and throws the open medicine bag at Sasquatch.
Yes.
She's like, here, you bitch.
So as Pestilence's spirit comes out, he was like, bar, har, har, I can find another body. Maybe it'll be your body. Har, har, har. But with the medicine bag, he gets sucked into it like a vacuum cleaner. And because he's pure spirit and there's no more bodies running around the void, he is going to be trapped there forever. And that's how they win.
So that's the battle.
Dear listener, Asta just leapt as if she were
a high jumper in the Olympics.
As if she were Puck doing a tumbling routine over Daryl's shoulder, landed on his leg / the laptop / the book, tipped over the microphone. We all just had a moment.
So that's edited out, but now we're picking up because the battle is over. And Puck picks up the limp little form of Smart Aleck, which was crushed during the battle.
Oh, R.I.P. Smart Aleck again.
Yeah. And then they figure out that Walter, who ran out of power in the box armor, put his spirit into the Sasquatch form when Pestilence vacated it.
This is like
it's a weird chain of custody thing.
It really is.
It's so confusing.
Snowbird's body. She left. Then Pestilence went in. Then he left. Now Walter's in.
So.
And Aurora just like throws over Roger Box like he's yesterday's news. Like, and he's,
I don't even know how to say fuck you in French, but she probably did. She's like, fuck off.
She's like, oh, Walter, oh, I have missed you. And Box is like, Aurora, despite it all, the risk I took to win her love is ecstatic.
Here's how I put it in the book. Aurora leaps into his arms, much to the disappointment of a post-coital Roger, and Sasquatch assumes human form.
And it's not Walter Lankowski's former footballer body.
No, it is a woman with stark white hair.
And magically a leotard.
Yes, and a leotard.
And Aurora's like, Walter? Box smirks off to the side, ma chérie. And yeah. Puck says, apparently white fur was not the only change Walter Lankowski inherited in assuming Snowbird's Sasquatch form. And that's how the issue ends.
Yep.
wild.
It's, and that, when I looked at these three issues, I'm like, we need to end it with this issue. Like, you go through everything. We finally are rid of Pestilence.
Yeah.
Lankowski is back, but we'll learn a different name that they take on next episode.
And these three issues barrel into each other. Like, I don't really appreciate the gaps and the out of sequence aspect of it. But arc-wise, like, these events for the, even them are barreling into each other.
It's almost like Mantlo's scripts for 43 and 44 he had written together and like tripped and the notes went on the floor and he reordered them and some things got jumbled between the two.
But I thought it was great. And now we have Lankowski back.
Yeah. So Mantlo did talk about this 2 years prior when he took over the book in an interview. And this was shortly after everything happened. And he said, I never said that Walter Lankowski was dead. What I said was that his soul vanished into the dimensional wasteland in the crossroads. So there are a couple of possibilities here, but there are so many stories that I'm putting this on the back burner. It will probably develop into a story, but not for a while. So
now we get the payoff.
Yes. So he knew Lankowski would come back somehow, but we get the payoff a year and a half later.
That's fun.
Yes. So, Shaman's no longer around.
Snowbird is gone.
Yep.
North Star's dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild. I wonder if Scramble had to put Aurora back in her youthful form after Pestilence aged her up.
Oh, I don't know.
Because they're like, we have to defeat Pestilence to restore her. Mm-hmm. But they didn't really defeat him.
No.
Well, that'll be in the magic gap of time between issues 43 and 44.
Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah. Sorry you have to edit this and that flying leap from Asta.
I know. It, I could, because everyone who listens knows that I typically don't edit. I did have to edit a few weeks ago when you coughed.
Oh, yeah.
But if I left it in, it would sound like fucking chaos.
Right? Just a clatter, a kaboom.
Yep.
Probably a microphone pop in there somewhere.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe she thinks we have more Apple.
She loves Apple.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
A burning desire for Apple. I forgot to mention, we read the Pride specials from the Big Two.
Oh, we did.
I love DC Pride.
I did too. It, I liked it a lot.
It was so solidly written and constructed.
And how it...
It flows between, like, there are so many writers and artists on it. But it's a continuous story.
Yeah.
That took like an hour to read.
And it was so good. And it's like, it can picks up from Alan Scott Green Lantern.
Yes.
In a really great way.
Yes. Like, they need to reissue that trade paperback with this Pride issue included.
Yeah. I am so glad that. So I have like three copies of it.
Yeah.
Because our local shop didn't have it. I went down the road to another and they had the one with the big cape Alan Scott, but they also had the fancy one with the Green Lantern and the Red Lantern swirling. And that art was so good. Like it, I forgot who it was, but I even said on Blue Sky to them, like, this is amazing. I need this cover. Mm-hmm. And I have it because it captured that sort of unwillingness to fight because I love this person mm-hmm. look in both their faces. So that was amazing. Loved it. But yeah, solidly written, so continuous.
And just, it's a page turner. Like, you just keep going.
Yeah.
And Marvel could have done better. I like what was written in there. I don't feel that they went with a more... DC Pride is a cohesive vision for one issue, is one big issue.
Yeah.
Marvel took their, I think, standard approach to a visions issue. Is that right?
Voices.
Like, voices. There we go.
With four disparate stories.
Right. And
it started off like it could have. Like yes. The we are who we are. We've been here since forever.
Yes.
Loved that part. And I really liked the escapade one,
mm-hmm.
her and Captain America of the Railways fighting a Nazi, but who doesn't love a Nazi getting punched?
And now you're going to need to read them even more in Avengers Academy.
It's true. They've already sent one Nazi skull into the void.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah. I'm just over Mystique.
Yeah.
Like, murder mommies, blah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about her as a character. And she keeps appearing and gets these like big things.
Yeah.
Like last year's Marvel Pride was about their wedding. And like that was sort of fun with all these people trying to figure out like appropriate gifts and what to do. But this year's lacked the continuous story.
Yeah. And
those
pages
could have gone to someone else.
Yeah. I did appreciate. And then we have the Arnie Roth story.
Oh, that was really good.
So we have two of the four stories connecting to Avengers Academy, which I think speaks volumes to Avengers Academy.
And Anthony Oliveira. Yeah.
And Anthony wrote the Arnie Roth story, but not the first one with Escapade.
Right.
And
they both felt true to form.
Yes. I really appreciated J.M. DeMatteis and his, whatchamacallit?
Forward? Backward? Or epilogue?
Epilogue. Yes. Essay. In the back where he talked about Arnie Roth and how in the early 80s he wrote him to be gay.
Right.
But he couldn't say it.
Right.
Thanks, Jim Shooter. Like, he could only infer it in dialogue.
Oh.
Yeah. So, much like North Star in Alpha Flight right now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They can't say he's gay. It's 1987. They can't do it. I
love how Anthony got, like, enough those moments of like nudge, nudge, wink, wink, not only about Arnie, but also the fact that because Steve Rogers used the same aftershave, he was able to figure out like, oh, Steve Rogers, my friend, is now Captain America.
Yes.
Woof. That's wild.
Yeah.
But also like those nice moments at the end.
Yeah.
So like parts were good, but it wasn't as cohesive as the DC Pride one.
And I feel the benefit that you really have with these types of issues, be it DC or Marvel, is that you expose people to characters they may not be familiar with and make them want to read more. And the DC one, I want to read more of some of these characters. I'm like, I don't even know who this is, but where are they?
Yeah, there was enough like fun snark in there too.
Oh, look, another twink.
Said by Catman.
I really loved Jenny Blake's story in DC Pride as well.
Yes.
So Jenny Blake, formerly known as Toni Isabella, wrote so much, wrote Champions in the 70s, started that series off, and had... It is all over the place. I just read an issue that she wrote of Star Trek back in the early 80s. So Jenny's been around forever, and it's so cool to see a coming out story.
And transition story from someone from 72.
Yes. And how that impacts her life and how happy and free she feels. It was so touching.
It was. And like working through all the identity things is just so great.
And I used to put on, you know, female presenting clothing, and it made me feel free, but then I didn't for 2 decades.
Yeah.
It was so well thought out. She did a remarkable job telling her story in a visual format like this, and really pairing with an artist that understood how to portray everything.
Yeah, I wrote a lot of great comics and did a lot of good things as Toni. I'll still be writing as Toni when appropriate, but I'll also be writing as Jenny, which is why I'm so pleased to be in this anthology. Like, that was so nice.
Like, I had almost happy tears.
Same.
Where it's like, this is so cool that she is who she is. And she came out just a few months ago, widely, like in February.
And and made the Pride issue.
Yeah. So just fantastic work all around. read both of them, buy both of them. We both bought multiple copies of these issues because I really want to support queer stories and queer art from the big two. And so that the creators and editors can go, look how many it sold. We need to keep doing this every year.
Yeah.
Because that's the fear, is that it, I mean, in the country and world we're living in today, that they could be like, oh, it didn't really sell that much, so we're never doing this again.
Yeah, I feel like we need to watch more queer movies when they come out then. Mm. Like, we missed it with, was it Boys or Boyfriends?
The Rose.
Rose.
Yes.
And A Nice Indian Boy was also on the list to see. I also want to read more about Joe as the Green Lantern with the glasses, Sojourner, in the new story.
Yeah.
Like, that one was so well written in I see you, I see all of you, and it hurts when you feel you need to protect me from your truth of like what you're experiencing. And if we're in this relationship, we're in it.
Yeah, because that was like a total alternate universe. Like, it's never happened.
Right.
So,
and someone else was like this, like, we're partners.
Because Joe is like, I met her once. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's how she sort of figured out that she's in the wrong reality.
But Joe is in Green Lanterns, the run I have downstairs when a local store was selling a bunch for super cheap. And I got a run of it. So she's a main character in that run. So don't worry, you can read more of Joe.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, I tried to tell John and Guy, and he was like, why would you not tell me? And Joe is so conditioned to not being listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's such touching, great moments. And like, there's still some amount of loss and grief from that alternate universe, sort of like Spider-Man after M-Day.
Mm.
He was so distraught after that. I don't know. Anyway, that's a long tangent about the Pride specials, but we love queer comics.
Yeah, I really hope that we see a bunch of these creators at FlameCon, because I want these signed. I want to tell them how great they did.
I would lose my mind if Luciano Vecchio was there and like got all the Cyrano signed or something.
Yeah. And I mean, you can tell what Tim Sheridan's piece is in here, because it's all of the Alan Scott stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm an Eisner voter now.
Congratulations.
I voted for Alan Scott, Green Lantern. Everywhere I could, in all the categories. I'm like, it's a phenomenal story.
Yeah.
And I read your trade paperback. I thought it came out like 3 years ago. I didn't realize like it just came out last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, it would be great if Tim Sheridan got an ongoing like JSA or something. Well, JSA is already going, so someone else has it. But if he could do an ongoing Alan Scott Green Lantern,
where he's super gay.
Yes. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah. So other favorite queer comics, Cyrano by Luciano Vecchio.
Yeah, that's a creator-owned one.
There's Sweet Paprika, written by Steve Orlando.
Yep.
That's been a good read.
Avengers Academy, which we've mentioned, like...
Oh, yeah.
...is the gayest thing that Marvel
has... X-Men.
...that Marvel has going for it right now, which... One doesn't say a lot, but also Anthony Oliveira makes it very explicitly queer, which is so refreshing. Yeah. And I want Anthony to get like all his flowers. I want him to get a physical ongoing where he could knock it out of the park. But I'm so selfish that I'm like, if they do that, will he still have time to do Avengers Academy? Because it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, because he's putting out weekly issues, and I think they've taken 2 or 3 week breaks that they planned.
Oh, yeah.
But that's it. Otherwise, he is turning in scripts, working on them all the time. When I asked him to do a blurb for the book, he was super busy, still gave me a blurb, but he's like, yeah, it's March, but I'm finishing up my Pride issue stuff right now. Like, nice. We're in Pride mode right now. So,
let's see. Iceman is in Extraordinary X-Men? Exceptional.
Exceptional by Eve Ewing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Catman, it just wrapped up, or is wrapping up, being in Sinister Six, the miniseries by Maynes. I think Nicol Maynes.
Yeah, I can't think of where too many of the other queer X-Men are.
No, because they're just not.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So.
What an adventure of a recording.
Yes. All right, everyone. So next time we'll be back with Star Trek Voyager.
New episode.
Yes. And yeah, probably getting into Con Crunch, me preparing for the X Factor panel with you.
Yeah.
To celebrate Peter David's X Factor. Then after that, preparing for FlameCon and my panel there. And yeah, you'll be sitting on that panel with Chad and Demanda and Scott.
It'll be wonderful.
Yeah. And that's going to be focused on Alpha Flight. So, all right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time when maybe Asta won't stomp on the keyboard.
You never know.
You don't.
Be well.
Bye.